Let's pray for the word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. You're here, Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot do anything. I cannot even do anything. I cannot change anybody. I cannot, but Lord, you can. You are the miracle-working God, Father. You're a God that transforms the hearts of men. And I thank you that you've transformed my heart, and you've transformed every heart that's sitting inside this room today. And Father, I thank you that you will continue, God, to do so. By the word of God that is preached, by your word, Father, let the word of God clean your people up this morning, Father. I bring your word before you, and I pray, oh God, because your word is life. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is like a lamb unto our feet, oh God, that guides us, Lord, throughout our life, Father. God, we thank you, we give you praise. Now pray that you speak, Holy Spirit, to your people this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Church, we need a spiritual awakening in the church. We seriously do need a spiritual awakening in the church. But not just the church, starting with you, because you are what? You are the church. You are the one that carries the presence of the Holy Spirit. God did not come down here and clean you up so that you can go back and middle around in the sin and in the mud that you came out of. God never did that. God cleaned you up so that you can be able to carry His presence and His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You are the earthen vessel that carries His Spirit. You are the thing we call the saucepan that carries His Spirit. And so we need a spiritual awakening in this church. This place, this world, and especially in the country today, it's become impoverished spiritually. There's a spiritual poverty creeping into the church right now. And I'm burdened with that because this is where God has been really dealing with me lately in the last couple of days, in the last couple of weeks. And I have never been the same. I'm carrying a burden that you cannot see. Hallelujah. And this burden is just not just for me, the pastor of this church. It's a burden for everybody that claims to be the follower of Christ. Everybody that says, I am born again, spirit-filled, speaking in tongues. You are a candidate to carry this burden. Hallelujah. And I want this church. I don't know about what other people are preaching and doing, but I have a responsibility to God to take this church to a place where it should be. Hallelujah. The last few weeks, I've been really challenged by God about the spiritual health of the church. God put this burden onto me as a pastor of this church, and I am actually putting it as a challenge to you. If you're fellowshipping in this church, this is a challenge for you. I am going to be talking straight this morning. You probably have never heard this word preached in your other church or wherever you've been before, but this word is going to be preached from now on. We are going to deal with sin. Because we tap dance around sin and blink and wink at sin. And we, the people that call ourselves Christians, are the very people that always bring the world into the church. The world doesn't bring itself into the church. The Christians do. Your past and the way you used to live, you are the one that's bringing that into the church. Don't blame the world that the world is creeping into the church. Check yourself. Hallelujah. Make sure that you are not the one bringing the world influence into the church. I am putting this challenge to you this morning. If you're born again, baptized, filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, follower of the Lord Christ, Lord Jesus, then you are. This message is for you this morning. Hallelujah. I have personally stepped up my own prayer life. Why? Because I want God to take me. I said, God, if I'm going to be the voice, if I'm going to be the person speaking and preaching that kind of message, then so be it. If it's my purpose to be here preaching like that, then so be it. Hallelujah. One of my prayers was this, Lord, answer my wife's prayer. Hear a prayer. Why? Because she's praying for me. And if she prays for me, then if my life is starting to transform, I know you are answering a prayer. That's a prayer you men should be praying to God for your wives. Answer my wife's prayer. Because your wife cares for you. Hallelujah. There's a powerful thing that I received, a revelation and a challenge that I received, that I am not the same. And I shared it with the music team this morning. Hallelujah. I have a clear instruction from God. Clear. That is to bring the church to the place where he wants the church to be. I was speaking to a friend of mine, a beautiful friend of mine, wonderful friend that prays for me and cares for me and looks out for me. And that friend, I'm not going to mention names, said something that really challenged me. That friend said, God, when am I going to see the real church that you said you will build? The true church of Christ Jesus. When am I going to see that church before you take me home? And I got challenged by that word. I said, God, we need men. We need people that can be like that. We need people that can answer that question. That question that just came from somebody who's been crying and praying all their life. They've been crying and praying for the church. Today I receive another word from another family. I call it Mama. Said to me, you are like Nehemiah today. And I said, wow, thank you. You cried when the wall of Jerusalem went down. And I am at this place right now. Hallelujah. I am at this place right now. And I'm speaking to people that are with me. Amen? Are you with me? Are you going to stand with me? You're not going to run away from me, are you? You're not going to run away when the going gets tough. Hallelujah. God is going to fight the battle for us. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, my beloved family, the Lord has been speaking more and more about bringing the church to the place where there is no what? Spot and blemish. We are professionals in bringing the world into the church. We're just so professional at it. And you know, the devil's work is always subtle. He doesn't use really big things to bring the world and bring everything to water down what God actually purposed for the church. It comes in slightly and subtly. Hallelujah. The same command has been repeating itself in my spirit. The same command that God gave to Moses, and God said, I will be with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 22, it says, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God himself will what? Fight for you. That's my word, hallelujah. That's what God's been speaking to me. And I said, God, I'm going to speak this. I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. Even if they throw stones at me, I will speak it. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14 says, Lord, the Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be what? Be still. Be still and know that He is the Lord. He is going to fight for you. Hallelujah. This morning I will be talking to you straight, and I said it before, because I am your pastor and I will talk straight this morning. We're going to deal with things, a thing called sin. Hello, somebody. Don't go quiet on me. We're going to deal with this thing. Hallelujah. Because we Christians carry giants. There's a giant in the promised land that God sent you through, but you're still dealing with this giant. You haven't taken the giant down. There's some giants that God will deal with, but there's some giants that you have to deal with yourself. Hallelujah. This morning I will be speaking straight talk, because I love you and I am accountable to God for this church. I am the one that's going to stand before God and answer to Him to everything that He's asked me to preach in this church. I am not fearful of man, I can tell you this. I am not frightened of man. I am not scared of man. The only person that I fear is God. I have a fear of God. And that is the problem today in the church. We have lost the fear of God. We have lost the reverent fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God what? Brings in wisdom. When you have a fear of God, you're a wise person walking in wisdom every time. That's His word and that's His promise. Hallelujah. Straight talk. When Cain killed his brother Abel, the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? And listen to Cain's reply. He says, I don't know. I am not my brother's keeper. If we, the church, become like Cain, if we lost our love to rebuke and correct people inside the church, if we lost the fire to speak directly to people, if we become like Cain, I am my brother's keeper. Well, this morning, I am your pastor, and I am my brother's keeper. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will speak. Listen, Cain's reply, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Church, I am not going to be like the church that wink and blink and tap dance around sin. We have a responsibility to deal with it. Hallelujah. I'm the first to disappoint you today. I'll be speaking a lot on this from now on. I've been speaking to my dear friends, and I've been getting so much confirmation from where God wants this church to be. Like I said, I don't know what other churches are doing. I respect them, and I don't know what they're doing, but I have a responsibility for this church. Like I said before, I didn't want this job. But God said, you are the perfect person for this job. Why? Because you are not here to build your kingdom. You're building my kingdom. So you speak everything that I tell you to speak. Hallelujah. And the door is open for you to walk out anytime you want. Walk in anytime you want. But if you want to be inside this place, you want to be inside the camp that Joshua crossed the Jordan and took on this camp, then if you want to be in that, then that's the place for you. That is the place for you this morning. Hallelujah. I've been lately getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? I've been praying for you, every one of you sitting inside this room today. 4 o'clock, up. I'm a person that loves my sleep. But I'm telling you, God is dealing with me and challenging me that when I get up, I'm so fired up, I'm still going. I have never been like that in the last two, three months. Because God is burdening me with something. And I said, God, I am going to go to that place where I will meet with you. And then whatever that you need me to do, then so be it. We want to see God move. We want to see signs and wonders, miracles, everything happening inside the church. Then take your place to where you're supposed to be walking blameless before God. The church, my friends, that I'm talking about is the church that doesn't leave the Holy Spirit outside. We must not be a church that leave him outside and come in inside here and do our programs and all our little man-made programs and leave him outside. He is the one that's supposed to be inside the church. Hallelujah. A church that the Holy Spirit is not a stranger, kept outside of the church while we build our little programs and little things inside the church. A church that's against the influence of this world and Satan's deceptions, which creeps into the church when we're not watching. A church where the word of God is preached to teach, to rebuke, to correct, and to train what? In righteousness. That's what it is. To teach, to rebuke, and to train what? In righteousness. Bring you back to the place where you're supposed to walk. Hallelujah. My friends, this is a challenge for me, and I am living it with you. It's becoming a burden inside of me. I can't preach anything else. I can't preach good social gospels anymore. I'm not here to tickle your ears and make you feel good. I don't want you to feel good. I want you to feel challenged. One of my burdens was that I was the only one thinking like that. I prayed and I said, God, am I the only one thinking like that? And he answered, he says, don't you worry. I've prepared a remnant like yourself. He said, there's people like you with the same mindset, with the same heart, with the same fire, with my spirit. I prepared them for you. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you. All I need is those people that you prepare around me. That's all I need. I don't need a big church. We don't need a big church to change the world. We need a church that carries the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the church that speaks when God wants you to speak. And speak it straight. Don't water it down and mix it and make it like a cordial and becomes really... No, drink it stale, hallelujah. Eat it with the bones and chew in the marrows and get it inside yourself. No more time to drink milk. This is not a milk drinking church. This is a bone chewing, bloke eating everything kind of church right here. The church is not supposed to be a social club where political correct ideas are coming, bringing in here, and we discuss it and move God's word around to fit all our agendas. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. The kingdom of God is as a king, and the king is God. Jesus Christ is the king of all kings, and his word, when he speaks, becomes a decree. It becomes a law. You don't change that in the kingdom. In a democracy, you have people sitting around the table and talk about this, that sin, or we should do that. No, in God's kingdom, he says, that's law. Now go and sin no more. And walk in that place that I've called you to be. The kingdom of God, my friends, it's not a democracy. It's a kingdom. And it is a king. And you and I worship him. Hallelujah. And he's got a constitution that you and I abide by right here. That's our constitution. That's how you live your life by. Hallelujah. Not Women's Magazine and Ken's Post and Life Magazine. No, no, no. You live your life through the Word of God. Everything that is inside this book is your life. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings, and His kingdom is that you and I are in as a decree, and that's His decree. I love His word. In Psalms 138, verse 2, He says that He, who? God, Elohim, hallelujah, has magnified His own word, what? Above Himself. He said, listen, my word, I said, I've got a name, I am God, I am the creator of heaven and earth, but I said, He said, I have placed my word above myself. Therefore, He says, go and be holy. He said, even if you sin, I can't sin because I stand on my word. I am one with my word. Amen. If you sin, I still have to be holy. Amen. That's the God you're worshiping. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God you're coming here today and worship Him and cry and weep and ask Him for forgiveness. That's the God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I placed my word above myself. That word changed me. I said, wow. Him and His word are one. And He wants you, His people, to be one with His word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't add everything other thing on top of it to try and impress people. Everybody still here? You got your seatbelts tightened up? Oh, we just wind up to take off. We're not taking off yet. Hallelujah. Let me just get some water. Now, church is a place where we got to learn to be corrected, to grow, and to encounter God, who we are made in His image. He's not made in your image. We are made in His image. Amen. Hallelujah. We come here to encounter Him, to have a relationship with Him, to get corrected, to get rebuked, to get straightened up. That's what church is all about. This is not a social club where people come sit down, have a good time. We can have good time in God. But if you go outside of this door having a good time and still living in sin, then something is wrong. Then I have got a problem. The problem is me. I am not telling people about sin. Yeah. Are we people that come to church to meet God, or are we just here to just hear about Him? Ask yourself this question. Are you a person that comes to church to meet with God, to grab all onto Him, or just to come and sit down and hear about Him? You can hear about Him all your life and still be the same. But the moment you say, God, I want to encounter You. I want to have an experience like Paul had in Damascus. I want that power. I want everything that Elijah had. Then He will answer your call. He will answer your prayer. You are not insignificant in God, my friends. Look at me. Pastoring a church was never in my agenda. But I'm here. And you're dealing with me right now. Hallelujah. I'm your pastor now. And I'm liking it. Because God's changing me and taking me to a place where I've never been before. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to just hear about Him. God wants us to start acting like Him. Paul says, imitate me because I imitate Christ. God wants you to start acting like Him, talk like Him, treat people like He treats people. Amen. Not just hear about Him. We got people hearing about Him everywhere. That's why the Bible says Israel knew about God, but Moses knew God. Moses had a relationship with God. Moses was talking to God. He was the one that's contacting and getting in touch with God and bringing the messages to the people. But God doesn't want that. God doesn't want just me to be hearing from God. God wants you, everybody, to be starting to hear from Him. And if we're hearing the same things, that means He's speaking to the church. Hallelujah. Listen to me. A listener is always good at evading the Word of God. We're so good at that. We Christians are so good at that. We come and sit in church, and the preacher is preaching, and we are like dodging bullets. No, that's not mine. That's not mine. That belongs to that guy on that side there. We're playing dodgeball with the Word of God. Am I speaking to somebody today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. We dodge the Word of God. And then we say, I have not done those things that the preacher is talking about. He's probably talking to the guy 3 rows down from me. He's talking to, probably talking to that couple up there in the front, not me. In other words, you are saying to God, I'm not the head like these people down there. Self-righteousness starts to creep in. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God's argument with you is not you're not bad. Listen, his argument with you is not that you're bad. His argument with you is that you are dead in sin and you need a repentance. You need a savior. That's his argument with us. Not that we're bad, but we're dead. Dead in sin. That's his argument with the church today. That is his argument with you. Your righteousness, he says, is what? It's like filthy rags to me. Don't come with your righteousness, sit there and say, I'm not bad. No, you're dead inside that righteousness. Serious, serious word this morning, church. It seems to be a popular saying now. People are, the world always uses this, oh, you can't judge me. The world uses that. But guess what? Christians are using that now. They walk in the church with sin, sitting there and say, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. I'm under grace. Well, you know what? I understand grace. But God says, I am holy. Be holy. Amen. I don't care how much grace you want to have from God. I understand his holiness. I understand his righteousness. I understand that when I walk in that place, then I achieve everything that he has purposed for me. I want to please him more than I want to please anybody else. Hallelujah. Don't judge me. That is creeping into the church today, my friends. It seems to be a popular defense, not just for people who don't know God, but people who call themselves Christians to try and use a Christian faith to justify their own sins. Oh, somebody say amen to that. Say amen to that, because that's happening inside the church right now. They're under this misconception that you must forgive them, even if they are unrepentant and unremorseful, you still must forgive them. That's their impression. Many abusers will tell you that you can't judge them when they have behaved offensively or wickedly. I pray it's not you. I pray it is not this church. They will answer your rebuke by telling you that the Bible tells us we are not to judge others, or they will tell you only God can judge. I understand that. But the Bible also say, and I praise not you. People seem to think that this gives them free rein to sin. Let me just clear this up for you, that you are choosing to misunderstand the difference between judging and rebuking. You choose to have that misconception in your spirit. To really understand that that's not judging. I can't judge you. I'm going to be standing accountable to God. He's going to judge me too. Every one of us are going to be judged. But if I'm the pastor of this church, then I'm called to bring the church to a place of repentance, then I will do it. And it's your job as well to see sin and deal with it. Don't just look at sin and say, oh, I can judge him. No, the Bible says you have to rebuke, to correct, what? In righteousness. I have a job, not to judge you, but to correct you. And you also have that responsibility to others around you that you see sin. Don't tap dance around it. Don't say, oh, you know, it's not my problem. It's your problem. You are your brother's keeper. When you correct him, you save his soul from going to hell. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus instructs us clearly. He says, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him, he says. This Jesus doesn't tell us to keep silent about sin. He says, rebuke it. Deal with it. If he doesn't want you to, then dust your feet and walk off. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's what you should understand. Rebuking seeks to correct and rather than condemn you. I am not here to condemn you. I am here to teach you. I am here to talk about sin, to correct people that are still living in sin and coming to church. Yes. Hallelujah. We are not. I came from a Catholic church. I go and confess to a priest, and then go and live in sin for the next 5-6 days, come back and confess to the priest, go and live in sin. And this is not the church that Christ started. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17 says, Jesus gives us a biblical model for rebuking. He says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he is not here, if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more. Aren't grace beautiful? He's talking grace right here. Take two more and go and talk to him. But by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, and he says, now let him be like a heathen or a tax collector. Jesus likened people that do not come living in sin and refuse to come and repent, like heathens and tax collectors. In his days, they were the worst, and they were to be shunned by society every time. He likened you, a Christian man and a woman, sitting in church, refusing to repent from sin, like a tax collector and a heathen. That's his word. Hallelujah. His heart, let me tell you, Jesus is telling us that your brother not getting your point is not accidental. He's willing to choose that path. Notice Jesus says something. He says, he does not say if your brother cannot hear your word or does not hear you. He says if your brother will not hear you. That means your brother has made up his will to sin and to keep moving like that. He didn't say that if he did, he didn't hear you. He said if he will not hear you. That's the difference. His heart has been made up, not his mind. Sin, when it's in your mind, you are still okay. When it gets to your heart, which is your subconscious mind, you are in trouble. That's why it's hard to get rid of ingrained sin inside your heart. It's there. It's like a computer hard drive. When you put something there, it corrupts the whole computer. You can't get rid of it. You have to bring in what? What do you call those things that clean the computer up? Hallelujah. That's the blood of Jesus, my friends. You need the blood of Jesus for your cleansing. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. We are told, warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. No wonder Lord Jesus Christ gave instructions to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. He says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town, shake the dust off your feet, and walk away. Church, that is a burden that I'm carrying today. That's why I'm preaching to you straight. This is not a watered-down message this morning. This is a message to deal with sin inside our lives. We walk around carrying sin, and we need to deal with it. Hallelujah. I don't want you to just be getting by using every excuse in life. We must never become people full of excuses for every failure that we have. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Don't go quiet on me. This is an important message for us to hear today. This is a message that needs to be heard before 2020 kicks in. Hallelujah. The most embarrassing thing is that we cannot blame the devil on our continued sin. Why? Because Jesus said, I have given you what? Authority to what? Trample on snakes and scorpions and over all. Everybody say, all. All powers of the enemy. Nothing can touch you. We can't blame the devil. He's given us the authority already. Hallelujah. We cannot blame our enemies. Why? Because the word says we are what? More than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror. You're more and beyond. Hallelujah. That's his promise. We cannot blame the weapons that is formed against us. Why? Because we have what? The shield of faith. And that's the armor of God that Papa Joe has been preaching, and he's going to be preaching again next Sunday, teaching you on how to put on this armor of God. Don't put on the armor of God and go to sleep. Put on the armor of God and take the fight into the enemy's camp. Hallelujah. Listen, I tried every excuse in the book to avoid this job, to avoid this responsibility of standing here and talking to you as your pastor. But God answered every one of my excuses with his promise in his book. And I could not say anymore. I had to shut up and say, so be it, God. I'm going to go and do it. I became like Moses. You speak to the people. I'll just be your vessel. You just use me. Hallelujah. And I warned the man up in the Maribor Fellowship on Saturday. I said, do not put your hands up and say, God, use me ignorantly, because he will. You better be prepared when you say, God, use me. You've got to be prepared to be used. Hallelujah. When I took this job, he said, you're crossing over your Jordan now. Go in there and get rid of all these giants. He said, I will take care of all these giants. But he said, but your giant, you need to get rid of. You have a giant that before you can stand on this pulpit here, in this platform there, and speak the word of God, speak my word to the people, then go and get rid of this giant. Slaughter it, kill it, never to be seen again, so that you can be free to speak the word of God. And that applies to you sitting in this room today. If there is a giant in your life, today, this morning, get rid of it. Before we move into the 2020, get rid of it. Deal with it. Confess it. Repent from it. Walk away from it. Hallelujah. I have placed myself in a place where I've never been the last 26 years of my life. And I praise that God answer my wife's prayer. When she prays, answer it. If you don't answer mine, answer her prayer. Hallelujah. Because I know that when she prays, I'm in a good place. Man, pray that prayer to God. God, answer my wife's prayer. Because she knows how to pray. When she prays, God listens. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The priestly caste is no longer for a few. It's for everybody sitting in this room. You're a priest unto the people that you're going to be ministering to. Whether it's your family, your job, your friends, you are a priest unto them. It is not for a certain group of people anymore, or not just the pastor's job. It's everybody that claims to be the follower of Christ Jesus, have the Spirit of God living inside of them. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this morning is a good time for you. You may be saved sitting here, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a difference in there. You need the power to be able to speak like that, to be able to minister the word of God like that, to be able to not be afraid of man when you're talking. Yeah. Hallelujah. Spiritual poverty is creeping into this church, and I will not have it when I am on this watch. Not on my watch that spiritual poverty will creep into this church. Not on my watch that the world will creep into this church. Not on my watch that Christians living in sin will bring the world into this church, and we're going to blink and salute the sin and walk around it and not deal with it. I have a responsibility. If God is crying for his church to come back to a place that he wanted the church to be, then so be it. And not just me as your pastor, but everybody sitting in this room today. Hallelujah. This is a challenge. I've been challenged by this for the last 2-3 days and 3 weeks. God is challenging me, and it's burdening me. Hallelujah. I am my brother's keeper. God says, you are your brother's keeper. Go and speak my word. And do not worry about their faces. Hallelujah. Since we are on the topic of sin, let me just bring to you some principles on temptation, and then I will close on here. Temptation is actually a deception. Listen, young people, young men, women, listen to me. This is your message. Temptation is a deception. That is why the Bible says do not yield to temptation. Why? Because it is what? A lie. It's not real. The devil is a liar. Everything that he says and does is a lie. If anybody comes to you and tells you to do something that is against God, that is a lie. You don't follow after something that is not godly. You don't follow after something that is not from God. You say that's a lie from the devil, and you walk away from that. Temptation is actually a deception. That is why the Bible says, do not yield. Everything that temptation promises you is a lie. The devil uses all the time because he can't get to you. He will use lies to get to you. He cannot touch you. He cannot get to you. So all he has to do is use lies to get to you. Put your antenna up. And look out for the fruit, he says. Look for the fruits. Anyone who tempts you to do things that is against God, it's a lie. They promise you that you can, if you do this, this is going to happen. That's a lie. This is a good message for people sitting here today. Young people, listen to this message. Listen to it twice. Hallelujah. Do you ever wonder why God never explains consequences? He doesn't, you know. He doesn't explain consequences. He just says, thou shalt not eat from this tree. The day you eat from this tree, he says, you will surely what? Die. He doesn't explain the situation or the consequences that comes with dying. He just tells you, you're going to die. He doesn't go into details how it's going to mess up your thoughts and your mind, and it doesn't tell you that you know you're going to become living in sin, and there's going to be diseases, and there's going to be drug addicts, and there'll be fornication and adultery, and there's going to be all. He doesn't tell you all that. He just says you're just going to die. He doesn't explain consequences to you. God says, "I tried to save you from that, but you just wouldn't listen." He doesn't tell you every time you see a person, you're going to walk, your conscience is going to be really, really terrible. You're going to walk around shame and guilty. He doesn't tell you that. He just says you're just going to die. That's it. And when you fornicate, you know the problem. You got to sit in the church and feel guilty before everybody else because you didn't listen to God. Deception. Temptation is a deception. You look holy, smell holy, walk holy. But everything inside is not right. I'm talking to the church this morning. This is the kind of message we're going to preach to bring the people to a place where they need to walk before God in righteousness. God says, I tried to save you from all this sin, but you choose your own way. So now everything is happening. Death and diseases and alcoholism and drug addicts and fornication and adultery and all this murder and things like it happening. I said, Adam, I told you not to eat from the tree. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Let's go there. I don't think nobody has ever preached on that. So let's preach on this one this morning. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. A question. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Lie. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Listen to me, Eve didn't know the consequences of that. She only knew one thing. She only knew one word, die. Because Adam told her that. Don't eat from the tree or you die. He didn't explain the consequences to it because God never explained the consequences to Adam. We like to question God. We think we are smarter than God in a lot of things. See, God didn't tell Adam, listen, Adam, inside of you, there's 6 billion people. And when you eat, you're going to mess up all the 6 billion people. Now they're going to be messed up. There's going to be broken homes. There's going to be incest. There's going to be a gang wars, criminal activities, all this stuff happening. Don't eat from that fruit. From the tree. Tuberculosis, cancer, all these sicknesses coming into the world, don't eat from that fruit. Don't touch that tree. This is a warning from God this morning. This is not an age-old word. It's alive and well today in this modern world that we live in today. It's a decree. It's a law. It's a principle. You know, you better thank God that angels don't snitch. You're going to be finding flesh. All right, angels will be snitching. I'm glad angels don't snitch. You're what? You're being deceived when you eat from that fruit. Let me just bring to you the process of temptation. First process of temptation, Satan questioned the word of God. That is the first step to falling into temptation. Verse 4 says, Satan says, you will not what? Surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He says, God knows God knows that you will not surely die. That hasn't changed. He's still using that say age-old trick today. Oh, it's fine. Just one. It's going to be okay. Do you notice that people who live in sin want you to involve in their sin? Let's go and do this. Let's go and do that. Let's get a couple of these. Let's. You're supposed to be going, no, I am not like you. I am not a person like you. Amen. Hallelujah. That doesn't change. People commit adultery, fornicate, commit murder, lie, cheat, and they're still living to this day. They haven't died. If you meet Adam on Monday when he didn't sin, and then you met him on Tuesday after he sinned, he will be the still guy, same guy that you met on Monday. You wouldn't know. He's still alive. And that's what the devil uses. You aren't going to die. What are you talking about? You're going to still live. They're still going to work. They're still attending church. They're still part of ministries. I pray it's not this church. I pray that we're not the kind of people that are doing that and still come up here and sing in the choir and do things in the church, preach the gospel, walk around serving in the church. I pray that this is not this church. That's my prayer today to you, my friends. I pray that we don't bring that kind of worldly thinking, how the world lives, into the church. That is not the church that Christ Jesus started. That is not the church that he said to Peter, on this revelation, I will build my church and there's no gates of hell shall prevail. That's not this church. We don't want that. We want this church that Jesus was talking about. Amen. I want that. And I have a responsibility to have this church. They say, so what's the big deal? In other words, sin has become a culture and it's creeping into the church. Deception is a powerful thing. This is how Satan twists the word of God. What he's really saying to Eve, he said, if you disobey God, you will be just like God. That's really what he was saying. Just disobey God because you will be like him. What a deception. The devil is a master deceiver. He's telling them, God knows, God is hiding from you the truth that you would become just like him. When a liar tells you something, you know it's a lie. If somebody that's lies comes to you and tells you something, you know it's a lie. People who do not live in integrity and principle of the Word of God, and you believe them, you've fallen into the deception. Second process of temptation. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in which in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat or shall you touch it, lest you die. We have the knowledge of the consequences, but we do not protect ourselves from the consequences. Everybody walks around knowing there's the consequences of sin, but we have no protection against that. The Bible tells us clearly that Eve knew the consequences, that they will surely die, but that didn't stop her from doing it. Knowing the consequences won't stop you from doing it. It's still happening to this day today. We know that we're going to get cancer. We know that we're going to get heart disease. We know that we're going to have all this, but yet we say, it ain't going to happen to me. That's a lie from the devil. That's not going to happen to me. You know, I used to think like that. And I'm glad I don't think like that anymore. Hallelujah. I was one of those guys I'm preaching to you today. I was one of them. Everything that I'm preaching to you today, that's me before I became a Christian 25 years ago. Here's what we learn from this. Even though you know what you're doing is wrong, you still do it. And you know it's not going to be all right, you still do it. The point is this. Did not experiment. When you are about to sin, there is not an experiment. You know the consequences. Backsliding, I said before, backsliding is accidental. You backslide into it. But if you know that you've made your heart up that you're going to go and sin, that's sinning. That's not backsliding. You actually made up your mind, your will to go and sin. That's really what it is. Backsliding, you can be saved from it. But choosing to sin and live in sin, it's hard because it becomes ingrained inside your subconscious mind. Then we're going to go and fast and pray and come and get it out of you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Why are you going all quiet? Let's all sit up straight and deal with this today. Because that message is for everybody, and that's for you to also preach and correct others around you. Amen. Hallelujah. She knew the consequences, but Satan explained the consequences away. The devil is good at explaining it away. Oh, yeah, it's going to be fine. Just one. He says, what you are going to die from is not being God, but once you disobey God, then you will be like God. That's really what the devil is saying to Eve. Let me tell you what Satan was really saying. You are smarter than God. That's what the devil is saying. And most of us are walking around thinking we are smarter than him. Hallelujah. Third process of temptation, verse 5. Satan says to Eve, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. That statement, eyes will be opened, has to do with what? Conscience. It's powerful. Let me just break it down for you. You teenagers, young men, young women, listen to this. Listen to it twice. If you have to listen to it again, listen to it again. Get into your spirit. There are some things that God doesn't want you to be conscious of. Because your conscience never goes to sleep. It's alive. Your conscience is awake every time. It doesn't go to sleep. That is why your memories bother you a lot. When you sin, you live a guilt. You live with a guilt because your conscience never goes to sleep. Satan says, look, if you disobey God, your eyes or your conscience will be open. That's really what happened to Adam and Eve. The conscience become alive. That's why God says, who told you were naked? I didn't show you that. I didn't tell you that. Your conscience was supposed to be asleep. Why is it awake now? Who woke it up? Hallelujah. You cannot want sex if you've never had it. You cannot need drugs if you've never done it. You cannot want alcohol if you cannot want it. But once you touch it, then your conscience has been seared. Your conscience comes alive and you need more of that stuff. Hello, somebody. That's the word we're preaching today. You cannot need a cigarette if you have never smoked. You cannot need pornography if you've never seen it. But once you see it, then your conscience become alive. It's inside your head every day. You go to sleep, your conscience awake. Alive and well, hallelujah. That's why we walk around in guilt every time. Even Christians walking around in guilt because they're still living inside that place. In other words, God is saying there are certain things you don't have to introduce it to yourself. That's why I didn't want you to eat from that fruit, that tree. I don't want you to want it until you get somebody who can give it legally. I'm talking about marriage. Hello, somebody. That's why God says, don't have sex before marriage. Why? Because you have to have it legally. I want it to be legal inside the church. Oh, sit up straight and let's deal with it today, church. Let's all sit up straight. Hallelujah. That's a good, high five your friend and say, that's a great message. I want to hear it this morning. Good one. Tell your friends, God is really smart. I didn't know that. Tell him and say, wow, I just found out this morning that God is smarter than you and I. Temptation is a desire to do something that you should know. That's why it's called the knowledge of what? Good and evil. And the devil didn't want you to touch that. Because once you touch it, then your conscience become alive. I like that. Okay, I need some more. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm talking about the church turning a blind eye on sin to an extent that it's just become normal now. You can come and live in here, walk in here, sex outside of marriage, and still come to church. No, no, no. That's not what God wants. Listen to me. I am not picking on somebody here. I'm talking about human nature. I am not picking on individual people sitting inside this room today. I'm talking about our human nature. That's what a human nature does. And that's why God doesn't want us to do that and still come to church. Once you open the door to sin, it will be very hard to close the door. When you try your first drug, it will be very hard to stop. Satan knows it. And that's why he says, you're not going to die. You're just going to have a good time. Hallelujah. It looks harmless. Deception. It's a powerful thing. God says, do not fornicate. That means sex before marriage. He said, do not commit adultery. Why? That's sex outside of marriage. And once you taste it, it's hard to stop. Have you ever had this message before? If you ever had this message before, praise the Lord for this. Temptation is a powerful thing and it's a lie. People go around with somebody who's married and they said, I love him. Shut up. He's lying to his wife. He's lying to his husband. What makes you think he's telling you the truth? Oh, come on. I'm dealing with this. Let's deal with this. Let's deal with sin when we see it. Hallelujah. Another favorite thing that we say, oh, God didn't really mean that. Ever had people say that? That's not really what it meant. And they try to water down the word to justify their own sin. People who talk in that way say that all the time, God doesn't really do that. He doesn't want you to be like that. God says you will die and go to hell. And the fire there doesn't die. And the worms don't die. And you're going to be up there quenching for water. And you'll be yelling out. And he talks about the rich man and Abraham and Lazarus. And the rich man turns up there and finds out, oh, I didn't know there's a fire in here. And he's getting burned. He says, Lazarus, bring some water. Put it on my lip. God says, that's not going to happen. This is the message to stop you from going to that place. And he says, go and tell my family, don't come to this place. And Abraham says, they have the preachers over there to tell them. They have the prophets to tell them. They have the pastors to tell them. They have the men of God to teach and preach and teach them. They have all that. Hallelujah. God says, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. Let me tell you here, my friends, the issue is not death. The issue is the word and disobedience. Keep my word. Don't disobey my word. Temptation is against the word of God. It's not against some fruit. When you are tempted, you're not tempted about a fruit. You're tempted against the word of God. That's the issue here we're talking about today. The issue is the word of God. That's what Adam broke. He broke the covenant and he broke the word of God. And I don't want Christians to walk around ignoring the word of God, living the lifestyle that they're living today, even though they say they're Christians and followers of Christ. He broke the word of God. That's the issue today, my friends. Hallelujah. I'm going to close by saying this. I am talking to you like this. And I share this with the church today, the music team today. I'm talking straight like this because I feel a burden in my spirit spending time in prayer with God. The Holy Spirit has been speaking and it's getting clear and clear every time in my spirit. Take the church back to its original place. Amen. The church that I started. The church that when I spoke to Peter, I said, on that revelation, Peter, I will build my church. And no gates of hell shall come against it. That's the church. Every time I get up at 4 o'clock and pray, God says, bring the church to that place. Bring the church to that place. 2 days ago, I was praying and meditating on the word, and the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, dropped something in my spirit very clearly. And when I stopped running and I took the church, he said, now, 2018 is your crossing the Jordan. I remember standing here and preaching that message about crossing the Jordan. Do you remember that message? He said, that's your Jordan. You've crossed over. 2019, he says, that's your Jericho. I got this word from God and I thought, wow. And this is my own walk and I'm telling you. He says, 2019, that's your Jericho. You've taken your Jericho. He says, all the giants in the land there, I'll take care of. You go and deal with yours. And when you're ready, you can come and preach on this platform. Hallelujah. 2018, we crossed over Jordan, went into a promised land. God said, there's a giants there, but he's taking care of those giants. The church is still here. People are saying, oh, we're going to fail, and this church is going to shut down, and nobody's going to come to this church anymore. Guess what? You are still here. Amen. 2019, my second year as your pastor, God says, you are now in your promised land, and I have given you your Jericho. We have taken our Jericho. How? God's been really blessing his church. God's grown this church. Look at you. Look at you sitting in this church today. You are a blessing to this church. You are a blessing to me. Because God's brought you in this place for one purpose, and that is to walk blameless before him. You don't get this message in any other church. I can promise you that. And I don't want what they're doing in other churches. I want this church to where God wants me to be. Hallelujah. 2019 church is still here. They wanted us to fail, but we didn't. Hallelujah. Why? God fought the battle for us. God took the Jericho for us. We're still here. I'm still your pastor. Hallelujah. You're still dealing with me. Oh, I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. 2020 is what I'm worried about, church. Because Joshua sent his men to fight against the city of Ai. 2020 is my city of Ai. God says, that's your city of Ai. He said, deal with the sin in the camp. And I set up another, wow. The principle is this, taking of the city of Jericho and a condition attached to it. And the condition is found in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. And verse 18 says, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take off the accursed things and make the camp of Israel cursed and troubled it. That's the word of God to me as your pastor. In other words, he's saying, get rid of sin in the church. Deal with sin in the church. Before we can move into 2020 and see the mighty hand of God, you have not seen nothing yet. 2018-19 is just a transition period for us. But 2020, when we step it up, then you will start to see something happening inside the church. That is why I've been bringing the message based on holiness and righteousness and walking upright and blameless before God. I'm taking God seriously about what he wants the church to be in and where he wants the church to be in. The purpose of this church we call Living Light Gospel Church. Then the Holy Spirit reminded me of the city of Ai. He said, 2020, I don't want it to be my city of Ai. It was clear. I thought, my goodness. If it's my own journey as a pastor of this church, then I have to sit up straight and deal with this thing. I believe that there's going to be a different year for us. No more are we going to be just people sitting here receiving the word. We're going to take the fight into the enemy's camp. Hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 to 6, we read the story and how Joshua sent men to fight the battle against Ai and how the men of Ai defeated Joshua's army. Verse 10 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, he said, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the divided things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them in their own possessions. In other words, there is sin inside the camp. And he said, Joshua, get up and deal with that sin. In verse 12, he says, and this is why the Israelites cannot stand against the enemies. They will turn their backs and run from the enemies because they themselves have been set apart for destruction. And he says, I will no longer be with you unless, he says, you remove from among you whatever is divided to destruction. That was my word God gave me. Direct and straight. Church, let's prepare for 2020 as a totally fresh year in God. Deal with whatever giant that you have now before 2020 kicks in. Hallelujah. If we are serious about going after souls, then we ourselves need to start walking in the place of integrity. We ourselves need to be walking in the place where God wants us to walk. I am concerned about the world creeping into this church. Let's get rid of whatever that is not supposed to be in here. God says, consecrate the people. Set them apart from every other people in this place. Get them ready. Hallelujah. It means to set apart. Be a people of that are set apart from everything else. Walk in repentance. Learn how to say sorry and ask God to forgive you and continue to walk in a place where He wants you to walk. And don't go back into that place. That's really what the message for today is. I released that word today because of what God showed me. And I am concerned. I am responsible. I feel responsible for the church. We Christians all love to claim the scripture in Joel chapter 2 verse 28. All of us like to claim that. We talk about revival, we talk about all this stuff, but revival doesn't come just on that verse. Joel chapter 2 verse 28 says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions." But let me suggest something to you. Let's just not go there. Let's go back to verse 12. Because verse 12 is really where it happens before that happens. Before verse 28 can happen, verse 12 must happen. And what is verse 12? "Now therefore, says the Lord, tend to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning." Verse 13, "So rend your heart and not your garments," he says. "Return to God, return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm." That should be the word we claim first before we want to start talking about the move of God. Start talking about the power of God. Start talking about signs and wonders and miracles and healings and all that stuff. Let's go back to that place. Let's go back to a place of weeping and rending our hearts. He says, not your clothes, your heart. Rend your heart and weep before God. Repent from all our sins so that we can see verse 28 fulfilled in our church. It can happen in this church if we go back to verse 12. That is the condition attached to revival. If we truly want to see it, then we must start walking in that place. And I want to walk in that place. Are you with me in that place? Hallelujah. I know you're with me. You've crossed over Jordan with me. We're in our promised land now. But we must not let the sin be inside the camp. Hallelujah. I'll close with this scripture. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8 says, "And a highway will be there. It will be called the what? The way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way," he says. "And the unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go upon it." Church, I rest my case. These are the words from God. These are the words that's been really burdening my heart. And this is only part one. Part two will come. God is still preparing something. Hallelujah. Can I have the music team up? Hallelujah. We're going to ask God for forgiveness today. We're going to ask Him to forgive us today. As a church, you do it at your own individual time. But as a church, we must ask God for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's open your hearts to God this morning. This is between you and God. This is not between somebody sitting next to you or your family member, or your husband or your wife. This is just you and God today. This is just your time with God. We're going to spend a little time with God today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. Lord, you know your people's hearts. They're all here standing before you today. God, every one of us standing before you, we lay everything, oh God. Our hearts are open. Our spirit is ready to receive everything from you. Father, whether it's rebuke, whether it's repentance, whether it's forgiving others, oh God. Lord, remind us of our giants. Today we stand before you and we ask you, Father, to forgive us. Father, forgive us for everything that we may have said and done, every preconceived ideas that we have, every our own opinions that we have. Father, we ask you to forgive us today. Each and every man, woman, and children standing here before you today. Father, this church, God, will not be the same church in the year 2020. We want to come to a place where we know that that is the place that you want us to be. You called Abraham and said, Abraham, come and walk blameless before me. Every man that you've called to come before you have been told one thing, and that is to walk blameless before you. You've called upon Israel to walk blameless before you. You called on Joshua to repent and render their hearts before you. Father, we stand here today, rendering our hearts before you. Hallelujah. We say we're sorry. Father, on behalf of this church and of these people, I say, God, forgive us. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us our trespasses, O God, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us, O God. That's the prayer that you taught us, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person. We ask you, God, Father, for your restoration, O Lord, in our hearts. If we've gone off the off track, God, we ask you to, Lord, guide us back into that place. Bring us back into the place of holiness. Bring us back into the place of righteousness to walk before you, Father, blameless. Father, we pray that you check our hearts every day. That we pray that we're not people that are going to use grace as license to sin. That we may stand here before you and say, that is sin. We'll rule the line before sin and righteousness. Father, as a pastor of this church, I thank you that you've spoken clearly. And Father, I've released your word to your people today. Father, not to judge anybody, God, but to bring people into the place of correction, oh God, to rebuke and to correct, Lord, in righteousness. That's really what the job is, to bring people to walk in righteousness again. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor, we give you glory. Hallelujah. We worship you.
Come, Holy Spirit.